You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name is Joey Weaver. He is Mike McDaniel. Mike, this is a weird feeling. It's just you and me today. We don't have anybody else with us.
First time in a while.
Yeah, it's a different feeling. We've had a lot of guests on over the last couple of months helping us to preview the season for each of the individual teams in the conference. But Mike, today, we are excited to really kind of kick off the season as it were, with an overall conference preview.
Yeah, this is really good. But week zero happened yesterday, Joey, and I have a question for you. Should Nebraska hire Bo Pelini as its next head coach?
Bo Pelini would work out at Nebraska, huh?
And before we dunk on that idea, 8 wins is much better than they're doing under Scott Frost. That's all I will say about that.
Oh, God. I saw something on Twitter yesterday that was listing out the top 15 wins under Scott Frost, and 13 through 15 were empty spots because they haven't won 15 games yet in 3-plus years under Scott Frost.
Yeah, yeah. And I think 12 wins, they're 12 and 21 in conference or overall?
I think that's overall.
Yeah, not great.
They have 12 wins in 3 years plus a game under Scott Frost. So
bad.
You know, just as soon as you think your team has it bad, just remember what Nebraska is supposed to be historically and what they actually have been under Scott Frost for 3.5 years.
Virginia Tech fans, hear that? Hear that?
Well, anyways, Mike, yes, we are an ACC podcast here, but, you know, we love getting in some general college football digs from time to time. As, of course, Nebraska was kind of embarrassed by Illinois yesterday in the week zero spotlight, which really did not help things over there. Mike, we are excited to kick off the season here. We're going to start with a final look at win total predictions, but we have a couple of other announcements that we're going to do throughout this show. We have a couple of sponsors joining the Basketball Conference family this fall. Are you excited?
We do. Oh, yeah.
So, Mike, the first one we have is a really cool partnership and one of a type, I guess, that we really should have been pursuing for quite a while now. As a show that has for a long time liked to talk in terms of spreads and totals and gambling this and gambling that, we this year have an official partner in the way of an online sports book, Mike.
We do, Joey.
We are thrilled to open up a partnership with BetUS, the online sportsbook. It has been serving clients for 25 years. It is generally known as America's favorite sportsbook online. It gives you the opportunity to bet on sports all over the world. Use promo code GOACC for a 125% sports-only sign-up bonus. Or, Mike, you can get a 200% sign-up bonus using promo code GOACC200. If you sign up and put in a deposit with cryptocurrency. Now, that bonus goes 150% to sports, 50% to the casino, so they have other games on there as well. But, Mike, super cool sponsorship here with BetUS. We're extremely excited to get started with them.
Like you said, long time coming. We needed a gambling host, so to speak, Joey. We needed an online sports book, and BetUS is it.
Absolutely. So, again, go ACC for 125% bonus on sports, or GOACC200 for 200% bonuses if you sign up using cryptocurrency. And of course, all that, Mike, does require a minimum starting deposit of at least $100. But after that point, they will match you dollar for dollar and then some using those promo codes. So please go out and do that.
We've already done that, by the way.
We have, yeah. And it's a pretty sweet sign-up bonus. So can confirm, it's pretty nice. So yes. Highly recommend doing that. Mike, the other cool thing about this partnership is that in doing so, all of the odds and spreads and totals and everything that we talk about this season in terms of betting and gambling will be provided by BetUS.com.
Yep.
So the moment hear us talk about something that you want to go put in a wager on with, you know, whatever currency you would choose to do so, that's where you're going to find it, is BetUS. So go check it out. Go register with them and join us in their wagering there all season long.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll remind you where we're getting these odds from.
That's right. That's right. We will be sure to remind you of that for sure. One last time, that was BetUS.com, promo code GOACC or GOACC200 for a big sign-up bonus with a minimum $100 deposit. So go check that out and join us there. Mike, win totals. We talked about these for each of our teams within the conference a couple of months ago, but we wanted to take one final look now that we've done all these team previews, and we wanted to make final picks on each of these. And with those, we're going to play a little game. Something else kind of new that we're going to do this year is putting in actual wagers, keeping track of wagers in terms of wins and losses and units and all that. So we will get to that here in a little bit. But Mike, let's start working through these teams. We're going to work from highest win total to lowest win total being offered and just give the people our thoughts on, are they going over or under, and how and why?
Putting personal feelings aside, Joey, we bet the numbers only.
That is true. That is true. You got to do what's smart. Mike, highest win total on the board. Care to guess who that would be?
The Clemson Tigers.
Couldn't be anybody else. Win total is 11.5. Mike,
11. I can't believe it's an absurd number. Joey, we got to mention the odds first. Over 11.5, you're getting +100. So it's, you know, if you really think Clemson's going to win the opener and then not slip up in conference play, it's probably worth a little bit of a bet. Under is -130. My pick here is under. I cannot, in good conscience, even with an 11.5 win total and +100 on money, in good conscience, bet an over 11.5. That is an absurd number. Now, Clemson has dominated ACC play. Generally speaking, they lose a game in conference play probably like once every 3 or 4 years. It does not happen very often. They have a brutal opener against Georgia. Georgia's going to be very good. That's going to be a very tough game. On paper, Georgia's returning more than Clemson is. And while I think that Clemson has a very good chance to win that game, they're very evenly matched with a very good returning team like Georgia. I have a really hard time betting the over, even with that said, because your bet could be toast after game one, and that is why I am sticking with the under here. I will not be betting actual money on this, by the way. And like you said, Joey, we'll be talking about the actual bets we'll be placing. I will not be betting on the win total for Clemson because it could absolutely win the opener and just run roughshod through ACC play, but I will be taking the under here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying over just because it's even money to the over. I will not be putting any of my own currency on that because, like you said, I mean, that just... I'm not going to wait all season to try to get even money on Clemson to see if they can win every single game or if they're going to lose one somewhere along the way. That's not a good bet in my mind. On the other hand, what you're saying, Mike, is if you do think that maybe Georgia goes in and wins that game to start the year, Georgia's an underdog. You're going to be getting better than even money just playing Georgia on the money line. So just go bet that. You're going to get better odds than that under at -130. Like, I'm going to take over because I do think that Clemson wins them all. I do think that Clemson beats Georgia the first weekend. I don't feel super strongly about that. Overall, though, I'm with you. This is hard to bet either way, and there's probably better ways to get something out of it if you're looking to wager on this one way or the other.
It's really in good conscience, I cannot bet over 11.5. That's just absurd. But Clemson's really good, so
yeah. This is a bad number for actually wagering on. So would not recommend putting action on that, but hey, to each their own. Yep. Mike, North Carolina, 9.5. -115 to both the over and the under.
Yeah, I'm actually going to put $10 on the under here. Not because I think North Carolina is going to be bad. I actually think they'll be very good.
Mike. Dollars?
$10. Oh, Van Gorder coins,
Van
right?
Gorder coin.
Oh, yeah.
The official crypto of the basketball conference podcast, Van Gorder coin.
We are now the solid verbal.
no longer a college football coach in practice, but still in the ACC in our hearts, Brian Van Gorder. Yes. We are wagering this season, Mike, on Van Gorder coin.
In theory, he's still a football coach. in theory, when he was actually coaching, he was a football coach. It was all theoretical. I'm going under here. North Carolina, my whole thing here at Heisman Trophy candidate Sam Howell should be a Heisman finalist. He'll be in New York. That's my expectation. We'll get into our you know, individual awards later. I think Sam Howell is going to win Conference Player of the Year. So I'm in on that. What I'm not in on is the fact that North Carolina has lost games. Now, COVID year last year was weird, but if you take like Mack Brown and just in totality and just think back to his time in Texas and you think back to some of the losses he's had in North Carolina, like there's a few games a year where North Carolina is in a dogfight. You're like, what, why are they playing down to this team? Now, we saw it a few times last year. Florida State, they lost a game they shouldn't have. Stormback in the second half lost a game they shouldn't have. UVA lost a game they shouldn't have. Wake Forest, they almost lost a game they shouldn't have, right? So just on that principle alone, and then the fact that they are replacing a ton of talent. Now, they do have talent at receiver. It's young. It's unproven. They do have a very good running back in Ty Chandler transferring in from Tennessee, so there's talent there certainly. But it's a lot to replace on offense. Now they have their entire offensive line coming back, but they got to be better in pass protection because Sam Howell, there's a chance he might need to throw it much more this year than he did last year, just considering what they lost in running back. Ty Chandler can't replace it all. So they got to protect him better. He was sacked like 35 times or something like that last year. So things need to be better there. 9.5 is just a lot. I think there's a pretty good chance North Carolina goes 9-3. That could be certainly be good enough to win the Coastal. But I think with my money, it's not a high confidence bet, but it's 10 Van Gorder coins out of the 100 we're allotting here, Joey, and I'm going to place a bet on North Carolina to go under 9.5.
Yeah, so just, by the way, just the rules of kind of what we're doing, as you said, Mike, we've each decided that we will start with 100 Van Gorder coin, and we will be wagering as much of that as we choose with a minimum of 3 picks, with the intent of seeing who comes out with the most, including the odds. So again, that's 10 Van Gorder coin you put on North Carolina at -115. So yeah, if you win that bet, you come away with something like, you know, 9 and change Van Gorder coin. So here's to hoping. I'm also on the under with North Carolina, Mike, and you know that I am a North Carolina stan at this point. I think that they're going to win the division. I have high expectations for them. I'm a Sam Howell guy, you know, all this stuff. But just like you're saying, in some of the performances we've seen from them in recent years, like, can I really trust that North Carolina is going to go out there and win 10 games? I don't think so. Like, if I have to bet this one way or the other, it's probably the under. Like, you know, 9-3, maybe even 8-4 is likely. It's certainly, if I could get this number at 10, I would feel a lot better about the under.
Certainly. Yep.
I think 10-2 is a possibility. 10-2, 11-1 is on the table, but it's just going to be, it's tough to like bank on them to do that with what we've seen in recent years.
Yep. No, I'm totally with you there. And again, I think they'll be quite good. I just, 9.5 is a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's why, you know, I'm on the under, but I am not actually putting in a wager for our sake on this. So, but good luck to you.
Thanks, man.
You got it. Miami at 9. Even money to the over, -130 to the under.
I mean, I think the bet has to be under, right? It's the thing that Cam Underwood always tells us. It's, okay, prove it to me, Miami, right? Like, they have all the talent in the world returning. Big question is, how healthy is De'Ara King? Now, they've been saying he's healthy, but how healthy is he actually? We'll find out. Against Alabama in the opener, which will be very ugly for Miami, I think. I think Miami is going to win the Coastal. I've been on the record saying that. I can't believe it. To be quite honest with you, I don't know why I'm doing that to myself. I'm trusting Manny Diaz to win a one game because I think it's going to be Miami and North Carolina jockeying for best team in the Coastal, and I think that Miami is going to win the head-to-head, and I don't know why, but that's
what I'm going with.
But they are the most talented team in the Coastal, but they're always the most talented team in the Coastal. So I'm hedging a little bit here, saying I think Miami could win the division, but I also not sure that it's worth it to me to bet the over at 9. That's a pretty high win total. I'm sitting at it under. I am not actually betting Van Gorder coins on this because I'm not too confident that it'll be going under. I think 9 could be exactly where Miami's at. I could also see them going like 8-4. I could see them going 10-2. I think anything in between is possible. So we'll find out what Miami is, but just knowing their track record, I think it's pretty reasonable to expect that, you know, even if they are really good, 9 might be the B number, especially when you take the Alabama game into consideration. Like, they're starting off the year with a loss, in my opinion. So,
well, that was what I was going to say, is if you can find a way, some way, somehow, to beat Alabama in the opener, I mean, this is going over, right?
It's going over. Like, they, yeah, if they beat Alabama in the opener, then we're talking about Miami as a competitor to Clemson this year.
Yeah.
Like, a actual competitor to Clemson.
Which, let's not get too carried away here.
They're going to lose to Alabama, so let's not worry about it.
Right, yeah. I'm also on the under here, Mike. And it's kind of the same reasoning as North Carolina is, you know, reasonably, when you look at the schedule, I think that they lose to North Carolina. I think they lose to Alabama. And, like, at some point, I just don't see this being a program that I can really bank on winning all the games they're supposed to win and not having a slip-up here or there. Like, the track record has shown us that that is, you know, very likely to happen at some point under, you know, at this program in general. It's not even just Manny Diaz. It's Mark Richt, and it was Al Golden and Randy Shannon and, you know, et al. Like, this has been a thing, is that they drop games they shouldn't be dropping from a talent standpoint. So, I mean, do I trust them to win 10 to where the over would hit here if the win total is 9? No, I don't.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm going to take the under. I think 9-3 is a very likely outcome, so good chance this pushes. I will also not be wagering anything on this one either. So, yeah, under, but I could kind of see it going either way.
Yeah, that's fair.
Pittsburgh at 7.5, Mike. Over is even money. Under is -130.
I think they can win 7 or 8. I'm betting the under, though. I don't trust Pat Narduzzi. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to get any better. So I think they're going to be a pretty average team in the Coastal. And that could be 6 wins. That could be 8 wins. I don't have a high degree of confidence in my next couple of picks, to be quite honest, my next 4 or 5 picks, actually, if we're going to talk about here. I don't have a high degree of confidence either way here. But I'm going to bet the under on Pittsburgh just because their running game in particular has just been kind of bleh, right? I mean, we've seen games where A.J. Davis has been fine, right? And it's like, okay, they look semi-competent running back, opens up the play-action game for Howell. And then we've seen games where it's been like, okay, they can't really run the ball. Now Pickett's got to throw like 35 times, which I don't think is a recipe for success. We've seen enough of Kenny Pickett to know that he can't really consistently carry a team that way, unless he's playing Virginia Tech in Heinz Field. But that went poorly. But defensively, I mean, I think Pittsburgh will be good enough. That was actually a question going into last year, was like, or 2 years ago, even now, like, when are we going to see a real Pat Narduzzi type, Michigan State type defense at Pittsburgh? And we've started to see that a little bit more consistently in recent years. So I think the defense will be fine. I have more questions about the offense and its ability to consistently put up enough points. And if the defense is just okay, then the offense is going to have to be a little bit better. And do I trust Kenny Pickett and that offense to be that way consistently enough to get to 8 or 9 wins? I don't. So I'm going to go under here, but I think they could start. 7.5 is a really good number. It's a really, really good number, Joey, but I'm going under here. I'm not betting it, though.
Mike, over.
Hammer. You love Pittsburgh.
Hammer that over. I don't even love Pittsburgh. I can't get over the fact that I'm looking at this non-con schedule of UMass at Tennessee, Western Michigan, and New Hampshire. Like, as much as Jim Hammett told us in the preview that they've never gone undefeated in conference play or out of conference play, like, since I was born.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, this has to be 4-0, right? And then at that point, you've got at Duke and at Syracuse. That's a pair of layups. Like, this should be, you know, they should win 6 without even getting out of bed. Like, and at that point, you've got games at Georgia Tech, at Virginia Tech, home against Miami, home against North Carolina, home against Virginia. You can't get me 2 of those 5? Like, come on. They're going to win at least 8 this year, maybe even 9. Like, there's real upside here, and it comes with a relatively easy out-of-conference slate. So, Mike, give me the over and give me 30 of my 100 Van Gorder coin on Pittsburgh. Lock that up. Let's go.
You're confident they're beating Tennessee. They should beat Tennessee.
I think Tennessee is such a mess. Like, and again, it's not that I see Pittsburgh as this, like, high-ceiling program, but what we have seen from them over the years is, like, a fairly consistent level of play.
Right.
Like if I told you that Pittsburgh was going to go, you know, 4-4 in conference play, it's pretty much what they've been doing every year, right?
Yeah. So now you're right. I mean, you're right.
4-0 out of conference, and that's an 8-win team. Like, yep. So that's, yeah. It's going to be a real problem if they do lose to like Tennessee or something. That's going to cause me some real heartburn.
Right. I mean, to your point, they usually don't have an out of conference schedule that's quite this easy. Usually they're playing like Penn State, and we're like, oh my God, what are they doing to themselves? So, yeah. I mean, that's a fair point. The non-conference is very favorable. And if you expect them to just be average in the ACC, which is what they've been under Pat Narduzzi, 8 is definitely in play. But I just, I mean, I'm sorry. I can't trust Narduzzi. Just can't do it.
Mike, your Hokies, 7.5 over plus 120 under minus 150. Give me the under.
Yeah, so I'm on the under here. I told you, Joey, I think that 7-5 is about right. I mean, Virginia Tech's got the starting talent to win 8 and potentially more. I just a couple injuries here and there to really just a couple of position groups, and this thing could be very difficult for them to even get to 7. There's talent there. I think the defense will be better. It's hard to break in a new defense in COVID anyway. It was even harder just because they didn't really have anybody healthy in the secondary really till like late October last year, early November. The defense played better the last couple games, played better against Clemson, which was nice to see, played well against UVA. Offense played a little bit better. And I think they'll be fine. I don't think they'll be objectively terrible. I think they'll just be fine. 7.5, again, another really good number. I think Virginia Tech is exactly in line with Pittsburgh. I think they're a 7 or an 8 win team. And if all goes poorly, I think that Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh could absolute bottom out would be 6 wins, in my opinion. I think they're both bowl teams. It's just a matter of a couple bounces here and there. But I'm betting the under because I think a couple injuries, and you can't bet the over with the depth issues at a quarterback in particular. Burmeister gets hurt. Like, you just can't bet the over here.
I'm honestly kind of surprised to see the number to full 7.5. Like, 7 probably would have made a little more sense to me.
Right.
I'm with you. Like, I don't see how you could, I don't know. I can't see expecting this team to go like 8-4 or better.
Right.
Given what we've seen from them in recent years. I'm also on the record. I mean, I've told you kind of what I think about this team and this program. I predicted on the preview, I predicted 6-6, mostly because I couldn't really, in good faith, like, reason myself to 5-7. But I kind of wanted to pick 5-7. It just doesn't make sense with the schedule and the talent on the roster and all that. So I'm on the under as well. I will not be betting it because it's at minus 150.
Yeah. Like,
to me, that's just not very good value at all. But
waste of time. Yeah.
But I'm with you thinking this goes under.
Yeah. Yep.
Boston College at 7. Over is minus 170, Mike. Under is plus 140.
And that's why I'm only betting 10 Van Gorder. We're just going to change the name of it every time. Is it Van Gorder Nickels, Van Gorder Dimes, you know, Van Gorder Coins, Stanley Nickels?
Yeah.
I am betting over here. It's terrible value at minus 170. They return a lot. Dracovic's back. I liked what I saw last year out of Boston College. I can also see a scenario, though. This is why I'm only betting 10 of these Van Gorder coins on this bet, Joey. I can also see a scenario where, A, they're not as good, right? Because Boston College just kind of popped up and surprised some people. There's more film on Dracovic. They had some uneven play last year. They lost to Virginia Tech, a Virginia Tech team that was not very good last year. They lost to them 40-14 in Blacksburg, Joey. 40-14. Virginia Tech wasn't any good.
Yeah.
That's why I could see this. I could see Boston College being the team this year that's like everybody's expecting them to be really good. I anticipate they'll win 8, which is why I'm betting the over. But this could be the team that kind of pulls a Louisville and just kind of acts up in year 2 under Halfley. I'm not totally sold on this working out at BC yet. I thought Halfley was impressive in year 1, really good year last year. Let's see it end on COVID year, Joey.
I took Boston College to go 8-4 on the preview with Dan Rubin. And yep. I really liked what I saw from Phil Dracovic last year. So I think there is a lot of upside here. However, I am going to go under this number just purely on the chance that some of what we saw was a little bit of smoke and mirrors, not repeatable. I think there's a good chance that this pushes But if I can get plus 140 on the under, I think I'm going to take that. So I'm going to put 15 Van Gorder pesos on under seven wins at plus 140 here.
I just couldn't in good conscience see, even if they're not as good as last year, Joey, I'm thinking relative to like expectations going into this year. I think a lot of people expect Boston College to be an 8 or 9 win team this year, just given the non-conference schedule and what they have returning and even their potential in conference play. I think a lot of people expect them to be better, you know, better than 7 wins, which is why the odds are what they are. But even if Boston College isn't quite as good in my scenario, I just don't see them winning only 6, even at plus 140. I mean, there's a reason why you're getting that juice there. It's really, really hard. Even just looking at the schedule, it's really tough to see them losing more than 5 games.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, it would probably have to require an injury to a Phil Dracovic or
for sure.
You know, for sure. If a Zay Flowers were to get injured or something like that, I mean, to really seriously hamper him. I mean, once again, the out of conference is Colgate at UMass, at Temple, home against Missouri. That's probably 3-1 at worst.
Right.
Missouri, of course, being coached by our old friend Eli Drinkwitz, formerly the offensive coordinator for Dave Doran and Ryan Finley over at NC State.
Yep. Future Virginia Tech head coach Eli Drinkwitz.
You don't hate it. You don't hate it.
I wouldn't hate it, and that's more of a regional fit. Anyway, the one other thing, too, is Troy Flutie still on the roster? No, I'm just kidding.
Is Doug Flutie like still on the roster?
Season 2 of this podcast.
Yeah, it is interesting with the way that the schedule lays out. You know, again, Colgate, UMass, Temple, and then Missouri at Clemson, home against NC State. Like, you could go, you know, 3-0 and then 3-3, and you know, then you're totally into the back half of your schedule. That's just a bunch of toss up games, I feel like. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think that Missouri game is kind of where a lot of this could swing. Is can they get that non-conference win and go 4-0 out of conference or not? So just for an odds play, again, it's at plus 140. I'm going to go with the under 15 Van Gorder pesos. You have over at minus 170 on 10 Van Gorder bucks or whatever, whatever we're going with. So, yeah, I tend to think this is probably just going to go 7-5 and all this will be a wash.
Yep.
Wake Forest, 7, over minus 130, under even money.
Joey, you and I are both on the Wake Forest bandwagon, as we always are.
Absolutely. In theory. Steamin' Deeks.
In theory. Even money on the under, I got to bet the under.
I'm with you.
Connor O'Neill said it on this podcast. Now, you and I both, when we looked at the schedule and talked about it with Connor, you and I both had it better than 7-5, I believe, looking back at this.
You tell me I had Wake Forest total, at 8-4?
Okay, so the win total we were looking at when we previewed Wake Forest is important to note. The win total was actually at 6.5, right? So we both said 7-5. Connor said 7-5. So I think that's pretty reasonable. If you're getting even money on the under here, I think you got to bet it. Yeah. And so I'm putting 10 Van Gorder dollars on this, Joey, Van Gorder coins. So again, not a high degree of confidence here. I think there's a decent chance that this pushes. I think 7-5 sounds about right for Wake Forest. But I'm no more confident in this bet than I am in my North Carolina under bet or my Boston College over bet, because I think there is a scenario where Wake Forest wins more than 7. It's just going to come down to whether or not the defense can consistently make stops. The offense is going to be very good. They're going to put up points. They always have under Dave Clawson. Hartman's back. Christian Beal-Smith's back. Ja'Cory Robertson's back. They have a really talented skill position group. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not the defense gets enough stops consistently. I think you bet the under because you're getting even money on it. And the fact that you get the push, you get your money back. I think it makes sense to just bet the under here and see what happens with Wake.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly where I'm at. Even money under 7. I'll take that.
Yeah.
And just, I have a hard time seeing it go better than 7-5.
Right.
So I'll take my chances with either it doesn't or, you know, or if nothing else, it'll push. So, I've got 15 of my Van Gorder coin on Wake Forest here at even money under 7.
Yep.
Virginia at 6.5. Over is minus 105. Under is minus 125. And I think for that reason alone, I'd probably go with the over. But Mike, this was like one of the toughest ones for me to come up with an answer on, because 6-7 wins sounds about right for Virginia this year.
Anywhere between this is another one of those teams in the ACC. You're either betting on teams to be between 5-7 wins or 6-8 wins. And I have Virginia more in that 5-7 win category. They are returning some talent on both sides of the ball. I have a hard time predicting what UVA is going to be offensively still, only because their skill position talent has not consistently shown up last year. I mean, we saw it like later in the year. Brennan Armstrong came back from injury and they looked better than they did early in the year. It took them a while to get their feet under them. And they've had some injuries. I know Lavelle Davis has been out for a decent amount of fall camp. I know that he's back practicing. It's just a matter of, you know, is he going to be able to contribute at any point this year? That was kind of the big question with Lavelle Davis after he got that suffered that injury, I believe in spring or summer. Don't quote me on that. But he's back practicing in at least some capacity. But if he were fully healthy, I think the offense is much better. I'm going to go under. And again, this is one I'm not betting anything on, because between 6 and 7 wins is reasonable. I also see UVA only winning 5. I'm just not very confident in this. And I don't like the odds here either way, by the way, over or under. -105 for the over, -125 for the under. I don't love these odds either direction. And I'm not really entirely confident that I know what UVA is going to be.
Mike, I just had a revelation. And I think I know what UVA is, actually.
The bar?
Virginia is 2010 through 2013, Paul Johnson, Georgia Tech.
Oh, God.
Those 4 years, Georgia Tech goes 6-7, 8-5, 7-7, 7-6. Like, it's a low ceiling, high floor team that is going to win between 6 and 7 games, like, every year. And you don't know which ones they're going to win, which ones they're going to lose, but, you know, it's that kind of thing. Maybe get up to 8 at some point, you know, like you did a couple of years ago with Bryce Perkins. But, like, yeah, I mean, 6.5, like I said, I think that's on the money. If I had to pick one way or the other, I'll take the better odds on the over at -105 right, instead of -125. But I am not – I would never spend any of my hard-earned Van Gorder pesos on this bet. So no. I can't recommend it.
And not to totally derail this, but this is our season preview podcast, Joey. Are we overrating Bronco Mendenhall's job at UVA?
I don't think so. I mean, considering what Al Groh and Mike London had done there before him, like,
okay,
he's
that's
elevated
where I'm at
the program.
Too. That's where I'm at too. I've had some questions about that. Like, what do you guys see in Bronco Mendenhall? I'm like, well, he's better than the last two guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of depends on what you think the Virginia football program should be. And I mean, I don't think that, like, the 1990, you know, top 10 finish, you know, at one point number one team in the country thing, like, there's a reason we're talking about that happening 30 years later, is because, like, it hasn't happened since, and it's not like right, a normal thing, you know, for this program's history. This is not a traditionally, like, high ceiling, you know, national title contending type of program. So
right,
for Bronco to come in and elevate the floor at minimum and even elevate the ceiling a little bit from what you've seen in recent years, like, I think he's doing a good job, but I don't know. Others might have a different opinion, I guess.
Yep.
So no wager for either of us on that. Louisville, 6.5 over +110, under -140. Give me 30 Van Gorder pesos on the over for Louisville.
Yep. Yeah, I'm putting 20 on it over as well. This is one of my favorite bets here, actually, in the ACC. I think Louisville bounces back. I think Cunningham will be better. They lose Javion Hawkins and Tutu Atwell. I get it. It's a decent amount of talent lost. But Louisville is a team that I think had a lot of weird things go against them last year. I think the turnovers will regress to the mean a bit. They had really, really bad turnover luck last year, and they weren't particularly well coached in some games. And I do think that overall the program took a step back last year, but how much of that is COVID related versus, you know, and not being able to really truly practice versus them just not being well coached? I guess we'll find out in year three, because year one, Wonder Satterfield was really, really good, and year two was very bad. I mean, it was a bad year for Louisville last year. And then a weird off season, and how does the program respond? It's a really pivotal year three for Satterfield, just kind of get back in the good graces of the fan base. And I think he does it. I think they go over 6.5. You're getting a little bit better than plus money here, or even money, I'm sorry, at +110. And I really like the way the schedule lays out for Louisville and their opportunity in the Atlantic. I think they bounce back and go over.
I think so too. I mean, a 7-5 or 8-4 finish, I think, is very reasonable for Louisville to attain. I've seen some comments recently kind of calling into question Scott Satterfield as a head coach. Like, you know, oh, this guy sucks. Like, he doesn't actually know what he's doing. He's not, you know, qualified for this, whatever. It's like, Scott Satterfield took over at Appalachian State when they're, sorry, App State. I don't remember what the proper pronunciation is. I'm going with Appalachian State. He took over at App State in 2013 when they were still an FCS program. And in 3 years, they went from 4-8, 7-5, 11-2. And by the way, that 11-2 year was in the Sun Belt as an FBS team.
Yep.
Like a guy that elevates the program that way, and then they go 10-3, 9-4, 10-2 from there. Like a guy that elevates a program to a level of consistency like that, like you don't do that by accident. He knows what he's doing. We saw the impact he had on Louisville the first year. I don't think all of a sudden he forgot how to coach last year. Like you said, there was turnover issues and some things that kind of came into play. Like they were pretty terrible in one score games that are kind of toss up-y type of situations. So, I mean, expecting them to bounce back to 7-5 or 8-4, I think is very reasonable. If I can get plus 110 at 6.5, yeah, I'll take that over. I'll take that over. Give me 30 of my Van Gorder coin on Louisville.
I'm putting 20, so pretty confident in that as well.
Yep. Once again, these odds all available to you at the betus.com online sportsbook. If you wanted to go hit that number real quick.
New sponsor, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. NC State, 6.5. Over is minus 140. Under is plus 110. Mike, this feels like this is an easy over to pick, but
yeah.
I cannot in good faith put any of my hard-earned Van Gorder pesos on the over when it's minus 140 like this.
Yeah, and that was my same thought. But the reason why I put 10 on Boston College at worse odds is because I'm more confident in Boston College than I am in NC State. And that's with it's a half game win total less, right? NC State at 6.5, Boston College at 7. I am even more confident in BC at 7 than I am at NC State at 6.5 at better odds. I can't bet it. I can't bet it. I almost didn't even bet the BC bet for the win total just because I hated the odds and I'm not really that confident. I'm less confident in NC State and I don't love the odds at minus 140, even though they're a little bit better than BC's odds. I just can't do it.
So are you thinking that 6-6 or worse is a possibility with NC State?
They are one quarterback injury away with Devin Leary. They were really fortunate to have Bailey Hockman last year in the second half of the season. He was not very good in the early part of the year. Devin Leary came back from COVID and NC State was much better. And then Bailey Hockman pleasantly surprised you and I last year. Bailey Hockman's at Middle Tennessee State now, and they don't have him there anymore.
Yep.
So what happens after Devin Leary gets hurt? Because that's what he does. Can he stay healthy?
I mean, I guess he hasn't really yet, has he?
Right. And this is the same thing I brought up with Virginia Tech. If like Burmeister gets hurt, what do you do?
Yep.
So yeah, I'm betting the over here tentatively because the win total is 6.5, but 6 is in play if they suffer a quarterback injury.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm with you. I'll take the over because I expect at least 7-5, if not 8-4. Yeah, I think 8-4 was what I had predicted on the preview show. But again, at minus 140, that is a lot of juice to give up that. I don't think that that's worth that juice is worth the squeeze, so to speak. So
yep,
I'm going to pass on it. Florida State 5.5 over is minus 130. Under is even money. I took the over just because I don't know, maybe James got to me a little bit or something, but like I feel like this year, you know, with a proper offseason, there's a little bit more talent in the QB room, some more leadership on the roster, some, you know, infusion of talent, all this stuff. Mike, I'm talking about Florida State. This is what I do. But like a bowl game.
Sounds like me with Virginia Tech.
I just need a bowl game. Mike, that's it. Like 5.5, it's going to go over, right?
I'm going under. They're 1 year away, I think. But I could see this going either direction. 5.5 is a damn good line, Joey. Damn good.
Yeah.
They have a lot of talent. I mean, this is not the talent in the room. This is not a 5-1 program, but I think they're a year away.
for what it's worth, 24/7 Sports put out their updated team talent composite rankings. Florida State fourth in the ACC in rostered talent through and through, and it's a pretty decided fourth. Like, they're pretty well ahead of everybody behind them, pretty well behind North Carolina, Miami, and Clemson at 3, 2, and 1 respectively. There's only two other teams in the Atlantic that have even comparable talent. Like, Boston College, Louisville, Wake Forest, and Syracuse are all way below them. Like, I don't know. I want to see it. I want to believe it, but I don't know. Then again, recent history tells us you're probably right on that.
Yeah. Again, could see it either way.
Yeah. Fair enough. Mike, my Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, 4.5. Over is -130. Under is even money.
I went with the under because it is even money. The schedule's brutal. And we talked about this a little bit with Kelly Quinlan, like, and I said 5-7 in the preview because I think the Coastal is just so meh. Like, they should be able to pick someone off or a couple teams off. If they do that, it probably goes over. But when you start your year and you look at it, you have Clemson permanently in the crossover, Notre Dame, Georgia, it's just North Carolina. It's just hard. It's really, really, really hard. And you get Miami, of course, being in the Coastal as well. It's just a really, they have one of the three or four toughest schedules in all of college football, depending on what site and metric you look at. I just, at even money with the under with that schedule, I had to take it. But Georgia Tech, I think, could get to 5. I'm not confident enough to bet it. I'm not betting any money on this. No Van Gorder coins going down this bet, Joey.
Yeah, I had I have the over. I had them at 5-7 on our preview show. I think there is upside to even go more than that. But at these odds, I don't know that I can trust him that much. Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's a brutal schedule. On the other hand, again, talent composite rankings, Georgia Tech 6th in the ACC. Really not that far behind an NC State, but that's good for 3rd in the division. Like, we agreed, like, they have upgraded the talent on this roster. The question remains, Mike, can they coach them? And right. I don't know if they can or not.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
Yep. Yeah, because I think this year very telling.
It's very telling, and not even necessarily in wins and losses, just how do they look? Because yep. I'm in the camp, certainly. And I got nothing against Georgia Tech. I think they've recruited really well. And I think that Georgia Tech can go 4-8 and not call it a successful year, but depending on how the results look, you could just be like, all right, I mean, it was a horrible schedule and they're still in a rebuild and they looked better than they did the first 2 years. It's like, okay.
Yeah. A lot of this probably comes down to how much Jeff Sims does or doesn't develop as well.
Right. Right.
That's going to be a major wild card with them.
For sure.
And by the way, so it was pointed out after our preview, you know who we completely forgot to mention? There, like, the name didn't even come up on the preview.
Who?
That would be Jahmyr Gibbs.
We didn't bring him up at all?
I don't believe we mentioned his name, like, whatsoever, somehow. So, Jahmyr Gibbs, very, very good for Georgia Tech. Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
Go check him
out. Yeah, real, real good player. Yeah, one of the best running backs in the conference.
Absolutely. So, over at -130 for me, under at even money for you, but no bets either way. Duke, 4... -115 on either side.
Yeah, I mean, screw the odds. I'm putting 20 down here, -115. The odds suck. Duke is decidedly a 4-win team in Vegas' eyes. You're at -115 on the over, -115 on the under. I'm going under. This team's going to be terrible, Joey. I mean, they're going to be horrible.
Yeah.
The value's not great, but it's not like -140 not great. It's -115. I will just take that and run. I think Duke's going to be atrocious.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't know. There's a chance that Gunnar Holmberg could turn into something kind of special for them. And, I mean, Mateo
Duran, for Duke.
Still on rock. Yeah. I mean, Cutcliffe, the quarterback whisperer, right? Something like that.
Special for Duke wasn't supposed to be like a huge slight, but, I mean, it's like, can he be like a mid-tier 3-star?
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm with you. Like, with 4-8, 4-8 seems most likely to me. So if I think it's going to be either 3-9 or 5-7, I'll probably take 3-9 before 5-7.
Yeah, hard to see five.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good number though. Lastly, Syracuse at 3.5, over -105, under -125.
Again, the odds suck, but they're going to be terrible too. Yeah. I'm going under. I'm betting 20 on it at -125, and I don't love the odds, and I'm almost breaking. I feel better about placing these bets with poor value with the under because I feel more confident in it when I'm looking at these two particular teams. So we could talk about my rationale with some of my other picks, but with these two teams, it's just I think they are going to be really, 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 really bad. I think they're gonna be horrible.
Like decidedly the worst two teams in the conference.
Like and maybe two of the worst teams in college football. Like I think they could be like outside of the top 115 in SP Plus. Like I think they could be that bad. Mm. So I mean, seriously, probably two of the worst teams in the Power Five, potentially.
Yeah, I know Syracuse, especially last year, was pretty rough in terms of the SP Plus results.
Yeah.
And Duke, I mean, just the level of constantly turning the ball over was pretty insane.
So, right. There's a little bit of something for everybody in this conference. There's absolutely terrible teams. You got one just elite team in Clemson, and then you have some good and a lot of meh. Something for everybody.
Yeah, it's very striking to me, Mike, how of all the teams that we've now previewed, let's see, what's my count here? It is 8 of them had a win total between 5.5 and 7.5.
Yep, that tells you all you need to know about this conference, Jerry.
Yeah, you're splitting hairs between 5 and 7, 7 and 5, and 6 and 6 teams. So this is a little bit of a, feels a little bit more like a slot machine than an actual scientific process in some cases.
Yeah, Boston College versus Wake Forest and Virginia Tech versus Pittsburgh matters a bit more than you think it does when the game is played.
Yep. Sigh. All right, Mike, to recap, I have Pitt over 7.5 with 30 Van Gorder coin at even money. I have Boston College at +140 under 7 with 15. And I have Wake Forest under 7 at even money at 15 coins. And then Louisville over 6.5 +110, 30 Van Gorder coin. You
yep.
have North Carolina under 9.5, 10 coins at -115. You have Boston College over 7 at -170 with 10 coins. Wake Forest under 7 at even money with 10 coins. Louisville over 6.5 at +110 with 20 coins. Duke under 4 -115 with 20 coins. And Syracuse under 3.5 -125 with 20 coins. You, my friend, are spraying the board out here.
I'm also a damn degenerate betting 40 of my 90 total Van Gorder coins on the two worst teams in the ACC.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a problem.
Well, the good news, Mike, is that both of us have 10 remaining, and we will at minimum, if we get everything wrong, we will have 10 to our name. So that's good. The other, we had some agreement on under 7 with Wake Forest and over 6.5 with Louisville. So that'll be good. But you know, there could be some pushes along the way. It's gonna be interesting. We'll see who ends up with more Van Gorder pesos after it's all said and done.
For sure,
Mike. Let's move on. We want to get some more kind of higher level season predictions. Before we do that, we told you we had new sponsors. That was a plural word and used with intentionality. Mike, we are also happy to announce a new partnership, a new sponsorship with Section 103. Mike, are you familiar with Section 103?
I am now, baby.
You are now. For those who know much of anything about me and my Georgia Tech fandom, I am a little bit of a connoisseur of apparel, clothing options, polos, shirts, sweatshirts, those kinds of things. I'm especially partial to performance wear. I wear a lot of dry fit t-shirts and all that. I live in Houston. It's hot. I sweat a lot. Like dry fit stuff is the way to go. And Mike, one of the things that's frustrated me as a Georgia Tech fan in recent years has been kind of the lack of availability of good looking, you know, proper logoed, proper colored Georgia Tech clothing. And that's been a problem in terms of availability until very recently, Mike, with the release of Section 103, which is a fully licensed clothing provider started and founded by a GT alumnus. We are thrilled to be partnering with them. Of course, Section 103 has apparel in official Tech Gold colors. It's got the new word mark on it. Very hard to find elsewhere for reasons unknown, but you want it, Section 103's got it. It is extremely high quality. I've got a couple shirts already. They fit great. They feel great. Very light performance apparel. I've yet to try some of the gray, more traditional t-shirts, but those are, I've heard talk, they're very soft. They're a wonderful product. Very soft, very comfortable. That ATL logo that Jeff Collins has kind of started to implement on the football field and such, you can get clothing with that logo on there. That's the only place you can get it. They have shirts for men, women, youth sizes, all sorts of things. And Mike, you even get input on the next design that you want them to release. They offer that survey with everyone that goes and checks out the website.
So if you're a Virginia Tech fan, just offer up the Hokie Bird right in the middle of that t-shirt, right in the middle of that sucker.
That's right. There's shirts that just say Tech, and all you got to do is write Virginia over the top of it, and it works just like that.
Yeah. Remember when Sean Glennon had to do the whole jersey switch? It's kind of like that.
That was a Georgia Tech game as well. So
how about that reference?
There you go. So Mike, again, we are really excited to start partnering with section103.com. Go there right now. It's only Georgia Tech apparel, but they've got a lot more they're working on bringing out. So go check them out. Use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order at Section 103. The pricing is great, by the way.
Affordable.
Yeah. Even if you have a second order and you're not able to get 10% off, like, it's super affordable anyways. So, great product, great people, great designs, great prices. I don't know what more you need to hear, Mike. Performance wear, regular t-shirts, sweatshirts, all sorts of good stuff.
Level up your clothing, Georgia Tech fans.
Absolutely. Please do that. Section103.com. Use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order. We cannot wait to be partnered with them all season long. I have a feeling, Mike, that any sort of Georgia Tech segment we do this year is probably going to be brought to you by section103.com.
It only makes sense.
It does make sense. So go check them out. Please do. Mike, other predictions for the season, kind of at a high level. We wanted to predict the division champions. We wanted to predict some player of the year, coach of the year stuff. And then we got a little something special at the end as well. So let's start with the Atlantic division, Mike. Are you feeling bold? Who's your Atlantic division champion?
Syracuse.
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Actually, the inverse of Syracuse, Clemson.
The inverse of the champion, yeah. Clemson, the obvious pick in the Atlantic. Mike, you mentioned, I think, you've got a Coastal Division champion that is different than mine.
I have Miami.
Miami?
I think they're the most talented team, and I think they figure it out. I think they put it together. I'm on Miami. I'm all in on the Canes for some reason.
Let me know when you figure out why, because...
Yeah.
You mentioned that at the very end of our very first preview, and there was some cursing, and you kind of couldn't believe yourself, so we'll see how that goes.
Cam couldn't believe it either.
I've got North Carolina. Not hard to find. Not hard to see that coming with the way that I talk about them. Again, I'm a North Carolina stan. So North Carolina is my Coastal Division champion. The ACC champion, Mike, is not North Carolina.
It's an invitation, really, depending on who you have winning the Coastal. It's an invitation to get that ass whooped in Charlotte.
Yeah. This is like that game that the Braves play as an exhibition, like 3 days before the schedule starts every year against... like one of the local college teams.
Yeah.
It is a nice little invitational. I do not, as good as I think North Carolina could be, I do not think that they're good enough to like actually put a legit scare into Clemson in the ACC championship game.
Think of it like 2017 Miami, like when Miami won the Coastal and they won 10 games or whatever, and then they got to Charlotte and basically couldn't cross the 50-yard line.
Yep.
That's basically what will happen. Anybody who's predicting anything other than that, no matter who you think the Coastal opponent is, you're incorrect. Yep. Clemson's just far and away better. Depth is better. They're going to be at least 8 or 9 points favorite over either Miami or North Carolina, and probably by more if it's another team that, you know, Pittsburgh randomly wins the coast. You know, I mean, we've seen weirder things happen. Georgia Tech won the Coastal that one year, like at 7-6.
Yeah,
but mostly because of other stuff going on. But you know, weird stuff happens.
Yeah, I mean, I would fully expect it. Doesn't matter who else comes out of this, out of the division. Clemson's going to be at least a double digit favorite. I mean,
yeah.
I could see it right now, right this second. I could see like Clemson minus 17 or something against North Carolina. You know, I just don't think it's that particularly close.
I don't either. But hey, look, North Carolina got a lot of preseason hype. Maybe that line isn't as high right now. Maybe it will be higher though at the end of the year. Maybe, you know, who knows?
It's possible. It's possible.
The other way. I don't know.
ACC player of the year, Mike.
Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell.
See, it's an easy pick. He's going to have to throw a lot.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, again, if Ty Chandler can stay healthy and, you know, has the legs for it, I mean, he's a guy who's capable of 250 or 300 carries in the way that A.J. Dillon did a couple years ago for Boston College.
Right.
You know, that type.
Right. Caleb Hood, talented freshman behind him. I mean, it's not like they're lacking talent. I just think he's going to have to throw a ton, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in college football. I think he's a pretty safe pick.
Well, and he's got the name brand value already, too. I mean, he's right. The name that everyone knows, and people are looking at, like, the first pick of the draft next year, whether that's legitimate or not. But, again, he's got the name value.
Yeah, preseason predictions really aren't worth the paper they're written on. So if you're going to – I mean, if you're going to do the whole thing, except Clemson winning the conference, if you're going to make picks, you may as well, you know, make the picks that make the most sense,
yeah.
Which, I mean, Sam Howell's the best player in the conference coming into the year.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think De'Aaron King or Big Cinco would be other options here.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'll stick with Sam Howell. Like you said, I think it's a volume play a little bit.
Yep.
Coach of the year, Mike.
I'm going to go with Manny Diaz because if I'm going to pick Miami to win the Coastal, I think Manny Diaz has to win Coach of the Year. So that's where I'm at.
I'm going to stick with Mac Brown. You know, again, if he's able to get North Carolina to win the division again, that's a pretty big step up. And usually people will just vote for that. So,
yeah,
that's my guess is if North Carolina wins the division, goes to Charlotte, is like a top 15 team, I think Mac Brown will get the votes. Mike, how many coaching changes do you think the ACC is going to see after this year for one reason or another?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with two, Joey. And this has a little bit of something to do with the fact that when we talked to Steve Wiseman last week, Duke was the last preview that we did, and he said that the administration is really comfortable, you know, with the fact that David Cutcliffe is still the head coach. And Kevin White, I know he's not the athletic director anymore, he retired, but Kevin White said, look, David Cutcliffe's got more job security than me. That stood out to me a little bit. And Kevin White's replacement is someone who's already been in the athletic department, who has the continuity with David Cutcliffe already. And if you're going to take Steve Wiseman as word, and I do because he's been covering the program for a decade with Duke in particular, and he's been around David Cutcliffe enough and that administration enough to know, then there is a chance that David Cutcliffe doesn't retire after the year, or is not, you know, pushed out in a way that like Frank Beamer was at Virginia Tech, where it was kind of like a forced retirement, but nobody ever really talked about it. So if you believe that, or if you believe that there's a chance that Justin Fuente saves his job, I think two is the number here. I think the only guy who you can look at on paper going into the year and be like, that guy's going to lose his job, it's Dino Babers. I think Justin Fuente has a very good chance to get fired if Virginia Tech's not very good. I think he has an opportunity to save his job if Virginia Tech wins 8 games, which I think is in play. And if he were to save his job, I mean, what if Cutcliffe retires? Then you're a two. So I'm going to go with two. If there was like over under 2.5, I'm going to take the under slightly here, Joey, and go with two. Certainly a decent chance it could be three with Fuente, Babers, and David Cutcliffe. I'd have a hard time seeing any other jobs opening. I don't buy the Satterfield hype at Louisville as much as some national media folks do. I don't think he's, even with a bad year, I don't think they part ways with him yet. I think it's too early.
Yep, I tend to agree with that on the Satterfield number. I'm going to go with three, Mike. I'm going to elevate it from one. I don't think Fuente saves his job at Virginia Tech. The way that I, you know, we talked about it on the Hokies preview was I have Virginia Tech at 6-6, to which Andrew Alex was pretty
fired.
Disturbed no, by that
fired
number.
At 6-6.
Yeah, he was disturbed by that pick, but he did say that makes the AD's job very easy because at 6-6, yeah, he's canned.
Yep, for sure.
So I think that's one of them. I think Syracuse probably moves on from Dino Babers. And then there's also just like a, I don't know, there's a lot of toss up, like what if kind of things that could happen in terms of could Dave Doran get hired away from NC State? Could Dave Clawson get hired away from Wake Forest? You know, could there be a change that way? Could Jeff Hafley get called up somewhere, you know, to the NFL or somewhere else? I don't know. there's some of that. There could always be some weird, you know, investigation, NCAA shenanigans that come down somewhere. You know, there's always something, and just there's just been like kind of a disturbing amount of consistency within the coaching ranks in the ACC. Like,
yeah,
there really hasn't been that much turnover, and I think we've agreed, like, there's only been what, like, six coaches or six hirings since we started this podcast.
Yeah, I think we came to that realization. It's basically been like one a year for 6 years. It's been ridiculous on average,
and that's just a little too consistent for me. So I feel like, right, yeah, whether it is Cutcliffe retiring or something, or something else happens, like, we're gonna start to see something, some sort of movement happen here, I feel like. So I'm going to go with three.
I agree. And in our defense, we started this podcast in a year where there were a bunch of first-time coaching hires, like first-year head coaches in the conference, and that has something to do with it. But yeah, you're right on the consistency thing, regardless of when we started the podcast. Like, there is just not a lot of teams ready to move on from their head coaches, and I think this is a year where we could see more movement in that category than we've seen in any time that we've been doing this podcast the last 6 years.
Let me put it to you this way. If something happened, and the whole thing starts to spiral a little bit down the stretch at Miami,
yeah,
and they ended up like 7-5, do they move on from Manny Diaz?
Yeah, and I was actually going to bring that Manny Diaz point up, right? Because if they bottom out, I mean, they're pretty quick to move on from head coach, right? And I mean, this is, it's kind of put up or shut up time with that roster. And that's why I'm going with them to win the Coastal. Because it's like, if not now, then when? And if they go 7-5, man, that's going to be at the very least hot seat territory. And then, you know, there's also a chance, Joey, like if Virginia Tech stayed healthy for an entire year and won 9 games, and we talked about this on the Tech preview too, there's a chance if Fuente could just like say, see you later.
Just
and
bail.
Just, yeah. And like bail while your stock's high, Baylor, like, you tried to pull that already. Bail while your stock's high. We could see some of that. We can see that with Satterfield at Louisville. What if Louisville wins 9? You know, does Satterfield go try to find another job in the Carolinas? Now, I don't know which one opens and what makes the most sense.
Do you really want to go get in the middle of Duke if Cutcliffe retires?
No. No. I don't think he wants any part of that. But, I mean, it's an interesting conversation to have. I think you can see it the other way too, where guys just try to sell out while their stock's high. Fuente and Satterfield in particular make the most sense in that regard.
Yep. Yep. So I'm going to take 3 coaching changes. Mike, you have 2 and a lot
I'm
of
I'm going seems... with 3 now. I mean, I'm going with 3 now. Okay. You talked me into it. I'm going with 3.
We'll I'm going stick with 3 then.
Yeah, we'll stick with 3.
Each. 3 each. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Last thing we got to do here, Mike, full standings predictions.
Yeah.
We've kind of done a lot of this in some form or fashion already, but let's just run these down. We'll start with the Coastal Division. Mike, I have North Carolina winning it. You have Miami winning it.
I have
Miami number 2. I assume you have North Carolina number 2.
I do. And it's my next, we'll get into my standings here, like in totality, but a lot of it has to do with head-to-head matchups. And I think Miami beat North Carolina, and I think that's why they win the Coastal.
Yep. Yep. I've got Pittsburgh number 3.
I have Virginia Tech number 3 and Pittsburgh number 4 because I think Virginia Tech wins the head-to-head at Lane Stadium because Fuente has not lost to Narduzzi at Lane.
That's a good data
weird,
point.
Weird stat. Quirky stat. They almost did. They had a goal line stand a few years ago.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Good data point. I've got Virginia number 4. Again,
that's high. I think that's high for UVA.
It's a little bit high, but again, it kind of depends on what I think of Virginia Tech in particular because
yes, that's true.
I've got them a little further down here.
Yes, that's true. I have UVA 5th. I mentioned I had Pittsburgh 4th. I have UVA 5th, so it's not that far off. That's just a little higher than I thought you would have had them, which is fine.
Yep. I've got Georgia Tech number 5. And the reason I have them ahead of Virginia Tech is I think they win that head-to-head. But at the same time, I mean, from a conference record standpoint, having to play that game against Clemson, I mean, that's an automatic loss that you start with in the conference standings. So that's going to knock you down a peg from everybody else in the division.
Yep. Like I mentioned, UVA 5, I have Georgia Tech 6th. Brutal schedule. I think Georgia Tech could absolutely beat Virginia Tech in that Atlantic game. That's one of the tough stretches of Virginia Tech's schedule. They got Georgia Tech, and then they have to go to Boston College on a Friday night. Like, that's going to be a pivotal point in the season for Tech.
Virginia Tech.
Hokies, yeah, Virginia Tech. But yeah, I have Georgia Tech 6th.
Yeah.
No slander, just tough schedule.
Yep. No, I've got Virginia Tech sixth. And again, I've been very honest what I think about them and where that program is. A lot of the reason I have Georgia Tech winning that game right now is because of where it is in the year and in the schedule. Yep. It's in Atlanta. It's later in the season. You should be seeing some development from Georgia Tech by then. I think there's a chance that Virginia Tech could be kind of spiraling a little bit. You know, they might have already kind of started to move on from Fuente. Like, there's a lot of things there that the way that I kind of see the season playing out, I think a lot of it favors Georgia Tech in that matchup. So I'll take the Jackets at 5, Hokies at 6, and then I think both of us have the lowly Duke Blue Devils at number 7.
Yep. Should we give them top to bottom what we got in the Coastal again?
Yep. So I've got North Carolina, Miami, Pittsburgh, Virginia, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Duke. You have?
Miami, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, UVA, Georgia Tech, Duke.
There you go. Atlantic. Once again, we both have Clemson winning the Atlantic Division. Number 2, I have NC State, Mike.
This is going to be so weird. 2 through 4 is so interchangeable. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
I've Boston College second in the Atlantic. I think a little bit of smoke and mirrors last year with Halfley, but I don't think it was that much that was smoke and mirrors. Dracovic's a very good quarterback. I think they're going to be quite good. I think 8 wins in total could be enough. 8 wins period overall could be enough to get them to second in the Atlantic.
Yep, yep. We'll just go this way. 2, 3, 4, I've got NC State, Louisville, Boston College.
I have Boston College, NC State, Louisville.
Like you said, pretty interchangeable.
Yeah.
Might come down to head-to-head matchups at that point.
Exactly.
Number 5, I have Wake Forest.
Man, this is consistent. You and I both have Wake Forest, Florida State, Syracuse, 5, 6, and 7. We'll just make that quick.
Yeah, I almost flipped Wake Forest and Florida State.
So did I.
But, again, we know how I typically handle things as it relates to Florida State. So.
Yes, and you know how much we both love the Steaming Deeks.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Love the Deeks. Love Dave Clawson and that coaching staff. Betting on them to not be very good is usually not a very good bet.
Right, I agree.
So, Mike, that's all I got. Anything else?
Joey, we get to preview week 1.
We do. This has been a good season preview. Season preview season is over. It's a good feeling.
I feel like we should have one of those handshake emojis for the fact that we made it through this offseason with the most consistency that you and I have had with this podcast in the offseason quite some time, despite both of us being extremely busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a pretty successful run here in the offseason. We had a few weeks where we didn't record anything. I think that really only happened once. Other than that, we put out a podcast basically once every 10 to 12 days all throughout the offseason. So we had content for you on almost a weekly basis. I feel like that was pretty solid, an improvement for you and I certainly. And you and I were ahead of schedule on season preview recordings in particular, which was huge. That was a new one for us as well with our guests. So
absolutely.
And a guest for every team.
Yeah. And we had a couple of new guests that I thought were pretty awesome.
Yep.
Overall, just a very successful preview season, I believe.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm proud of us. I think we have set everybody up really well for the season ahead. Once again, go put in bets on win totals and everything else over at betus.com. Use promo code GOACC or GOACC200 with your first deposit of at least $100 for some pretty cool bonus benefits there of either 125% or 200% with crypto.
Yep. So
go do that. Go check out section103.com for all sorts of great Georgia Tech apparel. Promo code GOACC there for 10% off your first order. Really great stuff there.
And can I add one more thing?
Please do.
Follow our advice on these picks at your own risk. Like, Joey and I know a decent amount about a lot of teams in this conference, but we're also both idiots. So just keep that in mind when you're placing your bets and following what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We're both idiots.
I mean, do I need to go back and show you our record from last year? Because mine was I literally put myself in the penalty box at one point, Mike, because it was like I couldn't pick anything right to save my life.
We got to like week 9, and you're like, I can't make any picks this week. You said that on a podcast. You're like, I'm in the penalty box. I'm not placing any bets this week. I'm like, you are ridiculous.
I began actively helping some of our listeners to promote the hashtag Fade Joey movement, which became very profitable.
Yeah, and we had listeners making actual money off of that advice. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I wasn't much better.
All to say, if you're hoping that listening to this podcast is going to make you rich, I mean, hopefully it does, but...
don't quit the day job.
That is wishful thinking. Yeah, don't quit your day job. Don't do that. Mike, you want to go ahead and work on getting out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, we are going to come back and start previewing actual football games. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at FTRS Joey. He is at Mike McDaniel SOS. And together we're at BC Podcast ACC. You can find us on iTunes, on Spotify, anywhere you find your podcasts. Go check us out there. You can send us an email with questions, comments, concerns to the longest email address known to man, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. You want to tell us where else they can find us on the social medias, Mike?
Facebook, facebook.com/basketballconferencerateview. Find all of our podcasts there. Go to Instagram at BC Podcast ACC. Check
Please do. Do it for the gram, Mike.
Yep.
For the gram. Mike, anything else? You want to get out of here and go preview some games?
Oh, my God. It's here. It's happening.
Music to my ears, man.
It's the Michael Scott gif slash gif, whatever.
Big office guy you are.
It's happening.
Pretty sure, like, wasn't your whole wedding basically, like, office-themed?
Yes, it was. Oh, yeah. Yep.
There you go. Follow Mike on Twitter for all of your The Office content.
Unlimited content.
Absolutely. Mike, let's come back and preview some games.
Let's do it, man.
Looking forward to it. All right. Well, until then, for Mr. Mike McDaniel, I am Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Excited to get the season kicked off. And until next time, go ACC.